While we were preparing for that segment on how people vacation, we began to wonder about the thousands of young Americans who vacation in Israel in trips organized by synagogues and Jewish organizations at colleges. Most of them choose to go despite the possibility of terror attacks. But what about the current conflict with Hamas and Hezbollah? Has that been enough to dissuade them? Wayne Firestone, president-elect of Hillel, the largest Jewish campus body in the world, joins me now from Beverly Hills to talk about the Birthright trips to Israel, which his organization helps to facilitate. I'm very pleased to welcome you to my show. Hi.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Let's talk about Hillel for a moment. When was it formed?
Well, we're about to celebrate our 85th anniversary. So we're a student organization that started in the Midwest on American college campuses, which many people are probably familiar with, but today we actually have Hillels that operate all around the world, including the former Soviet Union, as well as South America and even in Israel.
And how long has your organization offered free trips to Israel, the Birthright trips?
Well, the phenomenon of the Birthright trip is really about 7 years old now, and in that capacity, a number of different groups have facilitated young people traveling to Israel as part of a short-term Israel experience. And in that capacity, in the past 7 years, we've probably sent over 25,000 students to Israel, both on these short-term trips as well as students who traditionally will study in overseas study programs for a semester or for a year.
Do they have to be Jewish to be invited?
For the overseas programs at the universities, I actually went to one of those programs when I was in college and had many non-Jewish friends who attended. The Birthright program, which is a newer offering, is something that is offered only for Jewish students, and we've used it as an opportunity to bring lots of students who had never been to Israel or never had an opportunity to really sort of explore their own Jewish identities through an Israel experience. So for us, it's really been a boom and a great enriching experience. And also to the campus as well, the students coming back, sharing their views on their experiences has really contributed a lot to the discourse on campus.
Is this a way of getting foreign Jewish students more interested in what's going on in Israel?
I think the interest level for this millennial generation is very much global. Students hear about through their own information networks, not necessarily traditional news sources, but from Facebook and MySpace, their networks of talking to students who are traveling in their summers as part of their formal experiences. And we've found that students returning who may never have even considered a trip to Israel for religious or cultural reasons, or may not have had a predisposition to go there, have become very engaged and come back from those trips really with a very renewed sense and interest in their Jewish identities as well as the Middle East and current events. So it's really provided an opening for many different types of students.
Since Jewish identity is passed on through the mother, does that mean that if a child of mixed marriage whose father happened to have been Jewish would not really be considered, or are your rules a little looser than that?
It's definitely looser than that. The official policy of Birthright, which Hillel follows, is to accept any of the definitions of who is a Jew under any of the movements. So we have students coming from one Jewish parent who participate in our programs, both for Birthright and for other Israel programs. And that phenomenon, obviously, if you look at the demographics of the Jewish community, in some cases, as high, some of our polling shows, as high as 47% of students are coming from homes where there is only one Jewish parent, whether it's the mother or father. And we certainly see those students as very much a core part of our constituency.
How long does the trip last?
The Birthright trip's usually about an 8 to 10 day trip, and we also run programs, mission programs, generally during the winter break that also last about a week. But students, again, today are very savvy in their creation of travel and study experiences. They really do see the world as sort of part of their classroom and an extension of their learning experiences. So some of them will come back and go on internship programs. There were many students that were working at banks and working with organizations and interested in the high-tech sector in very, very, very different capacities, some with journalist organizations. So we're seeing students get a taste during the short-term trip and then often use that as an impetus to go either extend their trips and stay for longer or to come back in a different framework that they themselves are putting together.
In an earlier time, many people would go and work in a kibbutz for the summer, but the kibbutz movement has been largely in decline, hasn't it? Is that something that's still happening?
There are still students that explore kibbutz as an experience, and indeed the nature of the kibbutz movement and its status in Israeli society has had considerable change over the last several years. We found students are still interested in both visiting a kibbutz during the short-term trip and also learning a little bit about the history of the ideology and of people who have lived there. So even on the birthright trips and mission programs where people are there for a short term, we find that there's always a component of the program where people will go visit. The physical infrastructure is still there. Much of the history is there. The nature of their industries and their work has changed a lot, but it's still something we see as attractive for young people to visit and sometimes to participate in working on one.
I'm talking with Wayne Firestone, president-elect of Hillel, the largest Jewish campus body in the world. A recent article in the New York Times talks about American students thinking twice about making the trip to Israel because of the recent hostilities. Are some of your birthright participants in Israel at this moment?
There are, I believe all of our students have just finished the summer program. We had the last group of students that were actually students from the former Soviet Union who were the last ones we were monitoring. There were some students there when the hostilities first broke out, and we were able to safely move them to a different part of the country out of harm's way. But certainly the issue of safety is always a top concern. We've always monitored this very closely and have succeeded in the very good on the ground preparations that Birthright makes to move parts of the program to other areas to avoid students being in direct conflict.
So that means, of course, that nobody's in Haifa right now. But speaking to Israelis, they'll tell you that they never know for sure whether they should even get on a bus. So are there certain things that you do to make it less likely that people will be victims of some kind of hostility when they go to Israel?
Absolutely. We at the beginning of the Intifada, had to institute a policy where we don't allow the students to travel freely, and in particular to travel on public transportation. Now, these are risks that most regular Israelis do take and are comfortable with. It's a necessity to err on the side of safety to have those kind of procedures in place, and that's what allows us to ensure parents, when they call, and believe me, they call, to ask us about the specific precautions that are being taken. This generation, we know have the phenomenon of the helicopter parent, who are as likely to complain that the option of a vegetarian meal in the desert wasn't good enough or up to grade. We know that they are very attentive to where their students are and that they're being cared for. They talk to them more frequently on their home campuses, certainly than prior generations, and with today's communication technologies, they're able to continue to email and IM and to have cell phone conversations with their students even when they're in foreign countries. So we do have very strict travel guidelines in place that ensure that those risks are not ones that individual students will be taking.
I'm sure parents are really worried, but are these students old enough to not require a parental agreement to have them go?
Well, here's one where I think the social landscape very much outstrips the legal one. They legally can make a decision to go over a parent's decision at age 18, for example. But we have always counseled students to actually work through these issues with their parents and not turn it into a contentious issue. And this generation, again, just they communicate a lot more directly with their parents, and they do involve them in their decisions, including, by the way, their decision of where to go to school. So it's part of the continuing dialogue that we see that begins before college, continues through college, where literally students are speaking to their parents sometimes after classes and in between on breaks. And it goes all the way through their first job interviews. When I speak to a young student coming out of a job interview at a college, when you ask them who's the first person they're calling, they often say it's their parents.
On Hillel's website, one of the aims listed is to foster individuals to be, quote, distinctively Jewish, universally human. What do you mean by that?
Well, in American society, it's a false choice to say that you have to be American or Jewish. Napoleon asked that question of the Jewish community long ago. But in using the metaphor of the open window screens on a computer today, identity is very much like those window screens. You can have more than one open at once, and we find that it's possible for a young person to have many universal interests, and that we shouldn't try to compete with that. It's possible that they can have a Jewish identity window that's opened or become very ignited and interested by a trip to Israel, by doing social justice work, as we saw during the Katrina relief work, participating in a prayer service or a spiritual activity in nature, not even necessarily in a synagogue or in a formal religious institution. In all of those cases, we find this generation actually very open to exploring particularity. They do it in the form of musical choirs and a cappella groups. They do it in the form of study groups and book reading sessions. All of these things are the exploration of the particular, but it is not coming with the sense that they have to choose one or the other.
But does it also allow for some people to question Israeli policy, because that has been an issue in the American Jewish community? Some people will not allow any questioning of Israeli policies, and that, in fact, I've seen people being called self-hating Jews simply because they said that they didn't like something that one of the prime ministers decided to do, and there are people right now who are concerned with what's going on in Lebanon.
Well, actually, one of the things I think I'm most proud of in working with college students over the past 4 years is the sense that there is actually more unanimity in the discussion and the discourse on Israel. Not that the views are at all homogenous. They're very different. They're from the left and the right and the religious and secular. And that plurality of and multiplicity of views is a good thing on a college campus, where the marketplace of ideas should be rich and ripe, and people should speak out. Hillel now founded a coalition called the Israel on Campus Coalition, which brings together over 30 different national Jewish organizations that really run a far spectrum of ideological views on Israel, and I'm sure even from reading the correspondence over the past couple of weeks in Lebanon, have very different views on politically as it relates to different aspects of the conflict or different aspects of dealing with a war situation. And that is something that we actually encourage students to see and to learn about, and certainly not to go back to a period of name-calling or suggesting that young people in a period of growth should have as out of limits the ability to criticize or ask questions. That's actually what we pay a lot of money for them to go to college to do, to ask hard, difficult, insightful questions.
If you had a kid of college age, would you say, sure, go right now?
I just came back a couple of weeks ago, and my strong sense is that from speaking to the students that were there at the time, the growth experience that they will get, their understanding of the world, their understanding of themselves, is greatly enhanced by being in Israel, and that's been true whether it's been during the period of the Intifada, during periods of relatively quiet, and I believe that, that's also presently true now. So the answer is yes. I think parents can know that if they and they should think about this, and they should talk about it with the student, with their child, to make sure that they're making a thoughtful decision together based on what the situation will be. We're hoping, obviously, come November, December, when the next large group of students we expect to go on the short-term programs, when parents will be making those decisions, we're obviously hoping that the current hostilities and the suffering and injuries that have taken place, we're hoping that will be behind us, or that'll be significantly lessened.
Wayne Firestone, president-elect of Hillel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.